There is one chapter of Yeshayahu that one needs to study and master to be able to understand the piyutim at the end of the Seder, the piyutim of Nirtzah. Yeshayahu has a lengthy section of prophecies to the nations, roughly chapters 13 to 23, in which Yeshayahu gives prophecies to the various nations that lived in the vicinity of the Jewish people. It includes a prophecy to Babel, to the Plishtim, to Moab, to Egypt, to Aram, Phoenicia. There's a whole series of prophecies that Yeshayahu gives, and each of them begins with a masa, words of prophecy to a particular nation. Now, of all of those chapters of Yeshayahu, which are the less famous ones because they talk about the destruction of other nations and not the Jewish people, is the 21st chapter of Yeshayahu, which contains prophecies to three different nations, although it's hard to understand which nations he had in mind. What we're going to do is discuss who the three nations that he prophesies to are, and then at the end, apply these prophecies of the nations to the Seder and to Pesach. We're going to study the chapter backwards, beginning with the final prophecy. This one is given to Arabia, the Arab traders of the time. Masaba Arav, a prophecy in Arabia. Bayar Ba'arav Talinu Orchos Didanim. In the forest of Arabia, the camp, a caravan of Dedanites, which were, again, descendants of Yishmael. Likras Samei Heseyu Mayim, greeting the thirsty, they brought water. Yoshvei Eretz Tema, the residents of the land of Yemen. V'lachmo Kidmu Nodeid, greeted the wanderer with bread. Kibibnei Charuvos Nadadu, Bibnei Cherev Nitushta, Umibnei Keshes Derucha, Bibnei Kovad Milchama. The wanderers were fleeing a war, and they offered them bread and water. At first glance, it looks as though these Dadanites, people from Yemen, these Arabians, were great people because they greeted the wanderers with food and water. Yet, the prophecy says, Kicho amar Hashem Eloi, God says, Ve'od shana kischei sachir, in 1 year, measured precisely, like the years of a hired laborer, the kala kol kvod kedar, all the honor of Kedar will be destroyed. Ushar mispar keshes gibore bnei Kedar yimatu, and all of the remaining bows of the heroes of Kedar will be decreased. Kifi Hashem diber. Now Yishmael, their ancestor, was known as being a rovek kashat, an archer, and all of the great archers will be removed. This prophecy is surprising. If they are really bringing food and water, which is what they're supposed to be doing, then they should be lauded for it. Why are we criticizing them for it? Also, what does this have to do with the Jewish people? We generally assume, based on the Gemara in Megillah, that Nevuah Nechtaval Dorot Nechtava, a prophecy which is relevant for the future of the Jewish people, is written down. What does this have to do with the Jewish people, and therefore, why is it written down? So numerous sources and Midrashim all give the same explanation. The Yushalmi and Tanit 4:5, the Tanchuma and Yitro 5, the Eicha Rabbah 2:4, Shmot Rabbah and Parshat Yitro. Rashi cites this as well in his commentary to Bereishit 21:17, is that the wanderers here, which were wandering, they were fleeing a war, were actually the Jewish people, who were fleeing war and destruction in Israel. And the Arabians, who offered them water and bread, kidmunodei, they greeted them with offers of water and bread, but actually they didn't give them what they offered, and the Jewish people ended up starving, ended up thirsty. And that's why God promises to punish the Arabians. So this first of the three prophecies sort of sets the stage for us that we're in for a rough ride in that we are going to have a nation which is mentioned in a very, very cryptic prophecy, and then a challenge to try to figure out what it refers to. Turning now to the middle of the three prophecies in chapter 21, this one is even more cryptic. Masa Duma, a prophecy to Duma. Eli Korei Miseir, he calls to me from Seir, which is the mountain in southern, what is modern-day Jordan, where Edom lived. Eli Korei Miseir, Shomer Mami Laila, Shomer Mami Lel. So there's a night watcher. Now imagine a military camp. Everybody is sleeping at night. That's when you need to sleep. But there needs to be at least one person who's watching at night for daybreak. As soon as day breaks, everybody is going to need to go on their way. And therefore, he's sort of watching for day. Amar Shomer, the watcher comes. Asa Boker, day has come. Vigam Laila, day and night have both come. So they're both here at the same time. Im Tivayun Be'ayu, Shuvu Esayu. If you wish it, return and come. So what does it mean for a watchman to be watching and to see day and night both coming at the same time? Many commentaries, Ibn Ezra, Radak, say, well, there was a nation called Duma, they were destroyed, and there was a watchman who was looking for it. But Rashi says, again, what does this have to do with the Jewish people that they are being destroyed? And Rashi says, and this is the traditional interpretation, also in the Yerushalmi Tanit, that this refers to the descendants of Esav and the end of exile. Jewish tradition has assumed that the second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed by the descendants of Esav, just like in the Aeneid, which describes how Rome was founded by people from the Middle East who left and went to Italy and founded Rome. So too, for various reasons, Rome is in Jewish literature attributed with the descendants of Esav. There's a fundamental rivalry throughout Tanakh between the Jews and Edom. Already in Bereishis, they're told, the Jewish people are in charge, and then they'll be overthrown by Edom. And Duma, Seir, the nation of this prophecy, essentially are the Romans who destroyed our temple and sent the Jewish people into exile. The watchman, then, is actually a leader of the Jewish people who is looking for light, and light throughout the book of Yeshayahu. Recall Yeshayahu 9:1, Ha'am ha'olchim b'choshech ra'u or gadol. Light is a symbol for redemption. So the watchmen, the leaders of the Jewish people, sit there, peering up at the horizon from the darkness of exile. Shomer mami laila, shomer mami lel, hoping for an end to the darkness of exile and a return to the light of redemption. The watchman sits there and says, Asa boker v'gam noila, I see the potential for daytime for redemption or for more night. Im tivayin ba'ayu shuvu esayu, if you want it to come, you should repent. Shuvu, repent, and then you will bring a redemption. According to our interpretations, the Midrashic interpretations of the first and second of these prophecies, what we've essentially done is we've said that the prophecy of Arab is not about the destruction of Arabia. It's about the Arabians receiving a midah keneged midah, their just deserts for having harmed the Jewish people. And similarly, the Masa Duma is not about the destruction of Duma, which might be Edom or somebody else. It's not about their destruction. It's about the Jewish people who live within the context of the control of Seir, of the Roman Empire and later Christianity, which grew out of the Roman Empire. It's about the Jewish people who are under that control, that if we do tshuva, we are able to avoid it. The first of the three is longer, and it describes the prophet being incredibly scared. His whole body trembles. Al-Kain, therefore, he says, Malu masnai chalchala, my thighs are filled with trembling. Tirim achuzani ki tirei yoleda. I have pangs like the pangs of a birthing woman. Na'avesi mishma nivhalti meraot. When I see it, I'm just shocked. Ta'alav avi, my heart skips a beat. Pilatzos b'sa'uni. As Nejev Chishki Sham Lila Charada, my desired nighttime sleep has become for me a terror. And so there's a huge, huge terror and fearfulness that the prophet feels. Why is he so scared? So somebody sees V'ra Rechev, he sees chariots, Semet Parashim, Rechev Chamor, Rechev Gamal, chariots on donkeys and camels, v'kshiv kashav, a loud noise. Hinei zeba rechavish temet parashim bayan bayomer nafla bavel v'chol b'silei Elohea shibar la'aretz. So what we have here is a description of the destruction of Bavel, nafla bavel. And when the prophet sees this, he is totally scared, almost out of his mind. Now, where would this fear coming from? If it describes the destruction of Bavel on the hands of the Persians, which is Persians and the Medians, which would make sense given that we have here Ale Elim Tsuri Madai, the Medians are the ones who destroy the Babylonian Empire. Why this amazing fear? So in truth, the idea of a tremendous fear appears in the other biblical account of the fall of the Babylonian Empire as well. In the book of Daniel, which is written in Aramaic, you have the story of the Babylonian Empire falling apart. This is a story in which there is a disembodied hand which writes words on the wall. Daniel 5:5, Bashata, at that time, Nafka Etzba'an Diyadanash, Nafik, like in the Gemara, it came out, Etzba'an, a finger, Diyadanash of a person, the Kasvan, the Gabel Nevrashta, Algira, Dichasal Hechala di Malka. It wrote on the Katal, the wall of the Echala di Malka, the wall of the king's palace. Adain Malka Zihoi Shinoi, his appearance changed. Rayone Yvalune, and his thoughts were mixed up. The Kitze Kharte Mishtaryan, Barkubase Daladon Akshan, and his knees were sort of banging against each other, as somebody would do in fear. So Yeshayahu's description of this tremendous fear that the prophet experiences echoes the way the destruction of the Babylonians are described in the book of Daniel itself. Furthermore, when Yeshayahu describes the destruction, it seems to be taking place at the time of a feast. Aroch HaShulchan, Achol Shato, eat and drink, which is also consistent with the description in Daniel, because in Daniel as well, the destruction of the Babylonians comes in the context of a meal, and they're all drinking a lot of wine. Back in Daniel chapter 5 again, it begins with this whole discussion. Vedayan at that time, he's Haisiv Mane Dahava, they brought the vessels of gold, the Hanpiku that were taken, Menechala Dibe Kelaha Dibu Shlem, that were taken from the Hechal, the temple of the God in Jerusalem, the Ishtiv Bahon, and they drank from it, Malka Varavanohi, Shigelase, Ulachenase, Ishtiv Chamra. So they were drinking all this wine at the feast when at the same night the Babylonians were destroyed, the Shabachu, and they praised Leilahe Dahaba Vachaspa, they praise the gods of gold and silver, Nechasha, copper, Farzala, iron, A'avavana, stone, and wood. So Yeshayahu tracks very parallelly to the book of Daniel chapter 5. Everybody's drinking. There's a huge party for the Babylonians. And that night, the Medians, the hand writes on the wall. Everybody gets super scared that night. The Persians come and destroy the Babylonian Empire. I'll note as an aside that Rashi here points out that there's a parallel to Habakkuk. Rashi uses a gematria, although it seems clear that the parallels to Habakkuk are literary because the same notion of incredible, incredible fear and also of wine drinking and of the Babylonian destruction, those three elements appear in the book of Habakkuk as well. So the book of Habakkuk ends with this concept of incredible fear. Shamati vatirgaz bitni, my stomach shakes. The kol tzalu fasifasai, my lips chatter. Yavo rakav ba'atzamai, rot enters my bones. So you have the tremendous fear in chapter 3. Habakkuk also has the great drinking. Av ki ayayin bogeid, geven yahir v'lo yinveh. You have all this wine. Ahoy mashkere eum masapeach hamascha v'av shaker. And also, Habakkuk talks about the destruction of the Babylonians in his prophecies as well, as a big part of his prophecy. So that was just an aside that there's parallel also to Habakkuk. To summarize our study of Yeshayahu chapter 21, Yeshayahu chapter 21 has three prophecies. The first, the destruction of the Babylonians. At night, very fearful. The second is the prophecy of Dumas, that there's a night watchman, and he's looking to see whether there's going to be redemption, which is symbolized through day. And finally, the last one is the prophecy of Arabia and the description of the Jews in exile not being given food to drink. What does this have to do with the Seder? On the first night of the Seder, in Nirtza, we recite a piyut called Vayihi Bachatzi Halayla. And Vayihi Bachatzi Halayla describes how God saved the Jewish people at night in the past, and also that God will save the Jewish people in the future. Understanding this particular part of the Seder is critical in understanding that Nirtza is not really about singing songs thanking God for the past. They're about singing songs thanking God for the past in anticipation of the future. And Vayihi Bachatzi Halayla is really focused on this is what happened in the past, and let's look at what happened in the past and in a way for God to help the Jewish people in the future as well. It also appears in the Yotzros for Shabbos HaGadol, and if you have a Siddur, you also could find it in the back of the Siddur for the davening of Shabbos HaGadol. So let's take a look at this piyut by Vayihi Bachatzi Halayla about all of the salvations that happened at night. So we begin with salvations that happened for the Jewish people in the past. We begin with Ger Tzedek Nitzachta Knechak Lo Laila, that God, I'm sorry, that Abraham fought in the battle of the four kings and the five kings at the middle of the night. Danta Melech Grabach Alam Laila, Yitzchak also is saved at night when he got into a big fight with Abimelech, the king of Grar, who took Rivka. This one's also Abraham, that Sarah was taken by Abimelech, the king of Gerar, and God got involved at night. Hivchadati Arami be'emesh Laila, God helped Yaakov by defeating Lavan, who's known as the Arami, in the middle of the night. Vayasha Yisrael l'malach v'yuchal Laila, Yaakov defeated the angel, who he fought in the middle of the night. Then we move on to Egypt. Zerah b'chorei patros, machatzta b'chatzi Laila, that the B'chorim of Egypt were defeated in the middle of the night. Tisas Negid Charoshes Slisa B'Kol Kvei Laila, you defeated Sisra in Shoftim chapter 4. Yud, the 10th one, Ya'atz Mechoref L'Nofeif, the blasphemer who waved his hand, Hovashta B'Garav Balaila, you dried up his corpses at night. This is a reference to Sancheirev, the Assyrian king who put a siege and nearly destroyed Jerusalem. So he waved his hand against Jerusalem. That's the Haftorah for the eighth day of Pesach. Yeshayahu chapter 10 at the end. So he was also defeated by an angel in the middle of the night. But what's important to realize is that this particular song doesn't suffice itself with just looking at the past times in which the Jewish people were saved early in the Tanakh. It also looks at the end of the Tanakh. So we have Daniel being saved, which is, again, from the Babylonian exile. And then we get our description, Mishtaker Bechli Kodesh, the person who got drunk with the vessels of the temple, Nerag Bo Balayla. So this story of the destruction of the Babylonian Empire, of Belshazzar drinking from the vessels of the temple, drinking wine from the vessels, using the temple vessels and dying that night, that same description of the first of the three that Yishayahu predicts, is actually appears in this song. We move on to the Purim story. Essentially, what's amazing is that there, of the salvations here, we have three salvations about the end of the Babylonian exile, from Daniel, from the Purim story, and also from the story of Belshazzar drinking the wine. And then we end with the middle prophecy of Yeshayahu. Pura tidroch, trample a vineyard, lishomer mami laila, on behalf of the shomer mami laila, the night watchman. Tarach kashomer, who screams, asa boker vagam laila, day and night also comes. So normally, when people get to this part of the Seder, they're just reading it very quickly to get through it. They're not really thoughtful about what the words mean. But when we say, you know, trample a vineyard on behalf of the night watchman, we're really saying that the Jewish people here are the night watchmen, hoping for the night of exile to end. And when we say that the watchman screams, day and night are both coming, that's a scream to all of us that we should do tshuva. The Seder ends not with a description of the past redemption from exile in Egypt. It looks towards a future redemption of all of us from our present exile, essentially saying that God should on our behalf defeat the enemies of the Jewish people, trample the vineyard of our enemies, and, which also, you know, also from Yeshayahu chapter 63, referring to Edom also, and God should save us. When you have your Seder and you get to these words, you should really stop your Seder and say, you know, these words in which we say that the watchman is screaming, day is coming and night is coming, that's so applicable to all of us. It's a call for all of us to do tshuva and a hope that God should redeem us. Now, on the second night, we have another similar song, Ve'amartem Zevach Pesach. This is from the Yotros of Pesach itself. It follows the same basic pattern, going through events that happened on Pesach. The covenant between the parts, Pripet Abitarim, when the angels first visited Abraham, the destruction of Sodom, again, the destruction of the Assyrians, which also happened on Pesach, the redemption from exile from Egypt, the salvation of Gidon. And then we again have the destruction of the Babylonians. Pasyad kasva l'kakea tzul ba-Pesach. Again, the Pasyad, the hand that wrote on the wall. And then quoting from Yeshayahu chapter 21, tzafo tzafit arocha shulchan ba-Pesach. So the destruction of the Babylonian Empire, according to the song that we say at the Seder and the prophecy of Yeshayahu chapter 21, it's not just that it was destroyed at night, but it was also the night of Pesach. Essentially, what we're saying is that the night of Pesach, the night of Makat Bechorot, is a time that is set aside for the salvation of the Jewish people. We were saved on that night, the 15th of Adar, at the time when we were in Egypt. But it was that very same night when Sancheirib and the Assyrian army were destroyed in the time of Yeshayahu. That night, the night of the 15th of Pesach. And it was that very same night of the 15th of Pesach when the Babylonian Empire was destroyed, when the hand wrote on the wall and the Medians came in and destroyed the Babylonians. And the hope at the end of the Seder is that just like we were saved from our past exiles so many times on that very night, the 15th of Nisan, so too, from our own present exile, we should be redeemed. If the redemption of Babel and the first of the three Yeshayahu prophecies was on the night of Pesach, then the second one, the end of our long night of exile, should also happen on Pesach as well, the night of Tetvav